Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, June 4th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, The Only Hope, Bloomington Normal Teens at Anti-Racism Rally, Where Future, Change, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. The front line in the fight against racism, injustice, and the death of George Floyd was formed on Wednesday evening in Bloomington Normal by 17 and 18-year-olds. A quickly organized rally and march to protest institutional racism and violence against African Americans, including Floyd, was led by a group of Bloomington Normal high school and college students who have had enough. They were joined by other teenagers and community allies who numbered about 500. That gives me hope, Justin Turner, 17, of Bloomington, said as he looked over the crowd assembled on the lawn and sidewalks in front of the McLean County Law and Justice Center, noting that most of those rallying were young people. We are the future, he said. We are going to see change. Seven teenagers spoke at the rally in front of the Law and Justice Center, 104 West Front Street. Then the 500 people marched to City of Refuge Ministries, 401 East Jefferson Street. Along the way, they chanted, I can't breathe, no justice, no peace, and say this name, George Floyd. Among messages on their signs were, white silence equals violence, and Black Lives Matter. When the 500 arrived outside the church, they knelt in silence for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, the time that a white police officer in Minneapolis on May 25th pressed a knee into the neck of George Floyd, a black man, who died after saying, I can't breathe. Then they marched back to the Law and Justice Center, continuing to chant. After the event concluded, some participants continued marching and chanting around downtown Bloomington. Before the event, Gavin Cunningham, 18, of Bloomington, who will be a freshman at Illinois State University this fall, told the Pantograph that he and friends organized the Black Lives Matter Solidarity Rally. We're doing this to spread awareness, to reach out to our whole community, said Turner, who will be a senior at Normal Community High School. It's important because there is power in youth voices, said Ashiana Watson, 17, of Bloomington, who will be a senior at Normal West. We do not hate the police, Turner said, but we will not stand if one of us gets slaughtered in the streets and that person does not get justice. Cunningham, who is white, said, Everyone who is white needs to sometimes just not talk. You need to listen to someone who doesn't look like you, to someone who doesn't act like you. Hear the other side. During his speech, Turner said, We must not turn a blind eye to violence. We are the future. This is our last stand. We are the only hope. Eamon Brock, 17, of Normal, who will be a senior at Normal West, said that being a young black man was like walking around with a target on your back. When will enough be enough? He asked. Jasmine Jordan, 17, of Normal, who will be a senior at Normal West, said she was in a history class one year when every black student in the class was assigned a seat in the back of the classroom. Kayla Cobb, 18, of Normal, who will be a freshman at the University of Missouri, said her brother was met with a police dog when he was stopped for a traffic violation at age 16, and some classmates told her she looked like a prison inmate when she wore her hair in cornrows at age 12. These and other experiences have prompted her to speak up. Youth have led revolutions in this country for years, Cobb said. Watson said she has been asked in school hallways if she was where she was supposed to be, as if I don't belong. She has heard students use the N-word at school. So now we stand together for change, Watson said. Among those in the crowd were Jennifer Ponson, 49, of Normal, a Unit 5 math teacher. I think it's important that white people don't stand down when other people say and do offensive things to people of color, Ponson said. I love that so many young people are here and getting civically involved. Turner asked participants to continue to work for change peacefully. Leave here with an intention of peace and love. The next story is entitled Businesses Recovering. Two nights of looting damaged stores, 22 arrests made. By Sierra Henry. Bloomington. Twin city businesses are slowly reopening with the help of residents cleaning up the streets after violence and vandalism slowed following two nights of break-ins and broken windows. Target and Eastland Mall reopened Wednesday morning after briefly closing because of damage from looting Sunday and Monday night. Normal Walmart, also vandalized Sunday night, reopened Tuesday. Kohl's, attached to Eastland Mall, remained closed Wednesday. The retail store had just reopened Friday as Illinois entered Phase 3 of the state's Restore Illinois Coronavirus Response Plan. The slowdown followed 22 arrests related to incidents Sunday and Monday. Bloomington Police Chief Dan Donath said there was no indication the suspects were paid to incite violence, but said there was some indication that social media posts were used to organize which locations to hit. The incident at Kohl's Monday night, for instance, followed a social media invitation to a parking lot party earlier in the evening. About 200 people were outside Kohl's when police used at least three rounds of an aerosol gas and detonated a flashbang ordnance before making arrests related to looting and violence. We look forward to moving beyond COVID-19 and moving beyond the community unrest, said Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. This is just the beginning of a conversation that, honestly, has been ongoing, but needs to increase in this community. Police are maintaining a visible presence to deter vandalism and will engage once windows are smashed, Donath said. He advised business owners to board and barricade as much as possible, ensure doors are locked, and use alarm systems to trigger responses. The next article is headlined, Man Badly Hurt by Gunfire, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. A man shot in Bloomington early Wednesday was being treated for what are thought to be life-threatening injuries at OSF Healthcare St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria, while police continue to investigate the shooting. This is an isolated incident and not related to the looting-type crimes over the past several days, police said in a statement issued Wednesday morning. The 37-year-old man was initially taken to the emergency department at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center before being transferred to Peoria, according to the Bloomington Police Department, which said the victim is believed to have life-threatening injuries. Police were called to the 800 block of East Washington Street for a reported gunshot about 1:30 a.m. Police said they were told the shooting took place outside during an argument. A fight had broken out a few hours earlier and appeared to have restarted when the shots were fired, the officer said. No one else was reported injured in the incident. The apartment buildings in the area were marked with crime scene tape, and a canine unit searched the surrounding blocks early Wednesday morning. Police said Wednesday morning no arrests had been made and no suspect information was available to release. Anyone with information about the shooting is asked to call BPD Detective Sergeant Steve Moreland at 309-434-2359. Or email smoreland@cityblm.org, report number 20200-6363. The next story is entitled McLean, Tazewell counties add cases. Heritage Health in Normal reports first patient with COVID. By Paul Sweech. Bloomington. Two more McLean County residents and three more Tazewell County residents have been diagnosed with COVID-19, bringing to 223 the number of McLean County residents and 78 the number of Tazewell County residents who have had confirmed cases of the novel virus since March. Both health departments released their latest numbers on Wednesday. McLean County Health Department reported on its website earlier Wednesday afternoon that three more people had been diagnosed, bringing the total to 224. But during a Facebook Live briefing, County Communications Specialist Dion McNeil and Health Department Health Promotion Program Manager Carrie Jones confirmed that there were two new cases, bringing the total to 223. The two new cases are males, one in his 20s and one in his 40s, McNeil said. Of the 223 people, 185 have recovered, 22 are at home in isolation, and 3 are hospitalized, Jones reported. In addition, 13 McLean County residents have died of the virus since March. No new deaths were announced Wednesday. Tazewell County Health Department announced three new cases, with two linked to an outbreak at Reflections Memory Care in Washington. Of Tazewell County's 78 cases, 61 people have recovered, 9 are in home isolation, 3 are hospitalized, and 5 have died. McLean County Health Department also announced the first COVID case at Heritage Health Normal, 509 North Adelaide Street, Normal. It is the first resident positive COVID-19 case for Heritage Health Normal. Melissa Beaver, Heritage Operations Group Vice President of Community Relations and Marketing, told the Pantograph. That is the only known positive in the building at this point. Beaver said she couldn't comment on the resident's condition. Heritage CEO Ben Hart said in a statement that Heritage is working with the health department to ensure we are following their guidelines and protocol with a positive COVID-19 test in the building. While the caregiving staff continues to adhere to the infection prevention measures we have in place, they continue to provide uninterrupted services to all of our residents and stability to their daily routine, especially during this coronavirus pandemic. Meanwhile, the McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported Wednesday that 72 people were tested on Tuesday at the COVID-19 testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. The volumes have fallen off a little bit, Dr. Aaron Rossi, CEO of Reditus Laboratories, said during the Facebook Live briefing. Reditus has performed testing at the site since May 24th, after the Illinois National Guard, which had done testing there since March 28th, moved to a site in Peoria. Rossi said that testing is open even to people with no COVID symptoms, providing they can complete the nasal self-swab test. Test results are generally received about 15 hours later, he said. The site is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily for people in cars and pedestrians. Insurance will be billed, but people without insurance may be tested free of charge. A Connect Transit shuttle leaves the bus stop at the Bloomington Walmart and runs to the testing site every 15 minutes from 10 to 11:30 a.m. and 2 to 3:30 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Livingston County reported its 37th COVID case, a man in his 30s, who is recovering at home in isolation. Statewide, Illinois Department of Public Health reported 982 new COVID cases on Wednesday and 97 additional deaths, including 2 deaths in Peoria County. Since the novel coronavirus hit Illinois in March, 123,830 people have had confirmed cases, and 5,621 people have died. The next story is entitled Charges Filed in Looting Incidents by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. Many of the 13 people arrested by Bloomington police in connection with looting at the Kohl's and Reed's sporting goods stores late Monday and early Tuesday morning were either allegedly caught wearing, carrying, or driving off with the stolen merchandise, prosecutors said at a hearing Wednesday. And in relation to looting the night before at Target in Normal, a Leroy man was arrested by Normal police after he showed Leroy police responding to a disturbance at his home some of the stolen merchandise, a court document alleged. They now face felony charges with bond ranging from $100,000 to $300,000, meaning defendants will have to post $10,035 to $30,035 to be released from jail. Six people arrested after a large angry mob had descended upon the Kohl's in the Eastland Mall were charged Wednesday, according to prosecutors. Charles J. Foster, 27, Tamika N. Foster, 24, and Stephanie L. Lancaster, 37, all of Bloomington, Joseph D. Matthews, 39, and Kenlea R. Sims, 27, both of Normal, and Maya M. Pisano, 20, of Dubuque, Iowa. They each face one count each of Class 2 felony burglary and Class 4 felony mob action. Charles Foster, Lancaster, Matthews, and Sims also were charged with Class 4 felony looting and a misdemeanor charge of resisting obstructing a police officer was filed against Sims. A seventh person also was arrested in the Kohl's incident, but he will not appear in court for a bond hearing until Thursday. Two nights of looting in Bloomington Normal came after nonviolent local marches and rallies protesting the death of George Floyd on May 25th at the hands of police in Minneapolis. In a narrative explaining the arrests, police said a large crowd gathered at Eastland Mall about 10 p.m. Monday in response to a social media post about a parking lot party. About 200 people showed up, but many left after someone broke a store window. About 11:30 p.m., about 100 people returned to the mall in a caravan of vehicles. One man damaged a police squad car windshield, while others threw rocks and other objects at officers. As that was going on, several other people broke glass doors at Kohl's, entered the store, and began looting. Police discharged a chemical gas into the building and then arrested people as they exited the building, according to the probable cause statement. Defendants were seen leaving the store with stolen merchandise, including Lancaster, who came out of the store wearing a pair of Adidas shoes with the Kohl's sales tag still attached, and Sims, who carried out a comforter, clothing, and a large purse filled with jewelry and Fitbit devices and Apple watches, the probable cause statement said. Prosecutors also alleged that Pisano told police she traveled from Iowa to McLean County to record the rioting, but police noted she did not possess any recording device when she was apprehended. About an hour after the Kohl's looting started, police encountered three men burglarizing nearby Reed's Sporting Goods, 812 IAA Drive. Officers arrested Darius Robinson, 27, of Normal, Donald Jackson, 23, of Normal, and Roosevelt D. Woods, 23, of Bloomington. Prosecutors allege Woods ran east across Veterans Parkway from the scene. Police reportedly apprehended him after he turned back west to cross Veterans Parkway again. Woods, who allegedly gave officers a false name, was transported to OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center after he complained of suffering an asthma attack. Police said they learned his real identity after he provided his true name to medical staff. Meanwhile, Robinson and Jackson allegedly tried to drive away, but crashed their car on IAA Drive and were arrested after they ran from the disabled vehicle. Jackson, who lives with Robinson at an apartment in Normal, told police he did not know Robinson and had simply stumbled upon the burglary, said the probable cause statement. When the vehicle swerved before crashing, a large pile of clothing stolen from Reed's fell from the vehicle, police said. Woods, Robinson, and Jackson face Class 2 felony burglary, Class 4 felony looting, and misdemeanor charges of mob action and obstructing a police officer. Woods faces additional charges of Class 4 felony obstructing justice and misdemeanor obstructing identification. Merchandise stolen from Kohl's, along with several large rocks, were found in a vehicle stopped by police about 3 a.m. Tuesday. Police said the driver, Kalia G. Washington, 18, of Streamwood, disobeyed a stop sign at the intersection of East Locust Street and Towanda Avenue. The car did not have taillights illuminated, according to the probable cause statement. She and her passengers, Lance M. Mondin and Kintrell Williams, both 19, of Chicago, a 16-year-old girl from Bloomington, and two 17-year-old boys from Chicago, were arrested. The three adults were formally charged with Class 2 felony burglary, Class 3 felony theft, Class 4 felony mob action, and Class 4 felony looting. No information was available about the juveniles' cases. In the incident involving merchandise found in Leroy, Matthew S. Gilliam, 24, of Leroy, was formally charged with three counts of Class 4 felony mob action. And here's an item entitled, Man Who Used Smoke Device at Bloomington Rally Identified, Sheriff's Office Says, by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. A man released a smoke device Wednesday during a rally at the Law and Justice Center in downtown Bloomington, police said. The man suspected of being involved in the incident has been identified after the McLean County Sheriff's Office asked through social media for the public's help in finding his name. An investigation is in progress, the updated Facebook post said. According to Bloomington police, someone at the rally deployed a smoke device from within the crowd toward sheriff's deputies who were working as security at the event. No one was injured and the device and smoke were harmless, the police said. A reporter and photographer for the Pantograph who were at the rally and march did not see or hear the disturbance police described. The next story is entitled, Violence Leads YMCA to Delay Exercise Classes, by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. Bloomington Normal YMCA has postponed outdoor group exercises because of violence and looting in the Twin Cities since Sunday. Executive Director B.J. Wilkin said classes were to begin Wednesday in the parking lot of the YMCA, 602 South Main Street. That was in accordance with the governor's plan allowing outdoor exercise classes of no more than 10 people to resume as the number of new COVID-19 cases declines. But Wilkin said classes have been postponed indefinitely for the safety of our members and our staff. As a result of the violence and the looting, we're going to elect to postpone outdoor group exercise classes until further notice, Wilkin said. Overnight Monday, Bloomington Normal endured a second night of looting, vandalism, and violence, with numerous businesses damaged and 22 people arrested. YMCA suspended fitness and aquatics programs on March 16th in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and focused on emergency child care for children of first responders and essential workers. 34 children of first responders and essential workers have been in child care without charge, thanks to grants from the Child Care Resource and Referral Network and the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Wilkins said the emergency child care transitioned Monday to a summer day camp and has been expanded to any child. Two campsites have been added, St. Luke Union Church and Trinity Lutheran Church, both in Bloomington. Each site has space for 50 children who will be divided into groups of 10, each with the same instructor every day, to reduce the risk of COVID spread, Wilkins said. Fee and other information is available by emailing sarahtbnymca.org. Small group training for the YMCA swim team began Wednesday. One-on-one personal training by appointment resumes Monday. Indoor group exercise classes will resume later in accordance with the governor's guidelines, Wilkins said. The next item is entitled Cause Sought in Graham Street Fire by David Prober, Bloomington. Firefighters haven't yet determined a cause for a fire that damaged a home early Wednesday on Bloomington's west side. No one was injured. Department spokesman Eric Davison said the cause remains under investigation. Firefighters were called about 1:30 a.m. to a one-story home at 608 West Graham Street, Bloomington. No one was at home at the time of the fire. The fire was contained to the interior of the home, which sustained moderate smoke and fire damage. The fire came less than a day after fire damaged another West Side home. A cause for that fire also remains under investigation. Fire was reported about 5 a.m. Tuesday at a rental home at 107 South Western Avenue that was unoccupied at the time. There were no injuries. And here are some of today's news updates. Dwight Date meets Zip. June 4th, 2020, that's today, meets Dwight's zip code 60420. Special postmark available June 4th outside Historic Depot, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's at 119 West Main Street in Dwight. Livingston County Environmental Association Vermilion River Cleanup, the third Saturday in September, has been canceled. But the Pontiac Farmers Market opens 7 to 11 a.m. June 6th in the downtown square with some restrictions. Schnucks has temporary store hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily through June 7th, with pharmacy hours 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Target is open. The Eastland Mall is opened, but Kohl's remains closed. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for June 4th. Please stay tuned.